Ball poked away by Keon Ellis from Curry. Keon gets it back, drives, double clutch, too strong, no good. Fox had it, lost it. It comes back out. Hustle play by Keon Ellis to get the 50-50 ball. Skips it cross court. Keegan ready for three. He's got the triple. It's 64-57.
From the 916, did you guys know that Keegan Murray and that crowd chant was added to
2K?
The NBA 2K. I was shocked and proud when I heard that for the first time. For you gamers out there, not myself, but the gamers out there, that's pretty cool.
It is, yeah. If anybody, I don't know many people who play 2K anymore, not because, like, you know, gaming's lame. I love gaming. It's just 2K, the game, actually isn't really a basketball game anymore.
Because NBA Live is done.
It is absolutely cooked.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't even put them out anymore.
Not, don't even think about it anymore, no. They are solely, EA is on Madden, they are on FIFA, and they are actually coming out with the college football game this summer, which I am incredibly excited for.
Did you ever play the mascot game?
Yes. Oh my God, absolutely. Those were the absolute, and to this day, those are my favorite highlights, is when they actually have mascot games against, like, you know, peewee football.
Yes,
just laying them
just
out.
Just laying them out. For those that don't know, NCAA, they would do a version where it was the mascot game where every player
would be
a
Oregon
mascot.
Duck.
Yes,
it would be like the Buckeyes Ducks against
versus
the Buckeyes.
The Ducks. Literally 20 mascots on the field at one time. Chris, got a question for you and all the listeners. But before that, let's get to another Chris who wants to be part of the conversation.
Love that.
What's up, Chris? You're on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. What you got for us?
Man, I just want to talk about that defensive beast last night that we put on the Warriors. Steph Curry, 5 points in the first half. They don't understand Mike Brown put us into a defensive team, and no one talks about how good our defense is. Even though we've let people come back on us in the last 5-6 games, our defense is a monster. And with Zion Williamson being out next game, I think we have a strong chance to get this 8 seed.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Chris. Let's have that conversation before my question.
Yeah.
Chris Watkins.
Okay.
Because the Kings' defense looked really good, and then it didn't against the Pelicans. And we sat there confused, and to be honest, Coach Mike Brown in the postgame presser was confused, trying to figure out, was the defense not that good or not as good as it has been, or did the the Pelicans just make a ridiculous amount of shots.
Right.
Some of that were the turnovers and the missed shots from the Kings, which led to transition threes. But at the same time, the Pelicans and that confidence that they had, the transition threes from CJ McCollum, I mean, I guess you can live with that. But Alvarado, who had, I believe, two transition threes, another three from a set spot, that's the type of stuff where you're thinking, I mean, if he shoots at a normal clip, it might be more of a realistic view on this game. So I don't know if they have to change a game plan. You have more opportunity to throw bodies at CJ McCollum and say, hey, this guy's not beating me. And the good thing about Brandon Ingram is, yeah, he can cook you, but Brandon Ingram doesn't shoot threes like that.
Right.
So at least you're living with mini Kevin Durant and his middies. You can live with that more than CJ McCollum shooting 60% or something absurd from three-point land.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely think that the Pelicans just played a hell of a game. I mean, they made a ridiculous – what, they shot 55% from three in that game on 43 point attempts against the Kings. And, like, I just don't know how realistic that is.
What was CJ?
CJ specifically was 9 of 12. That is burned into my brain.
What percentage is that?
It is 75%.
That's
crazy. He shot 75%.
What was Alvarado?
Alvarado was 2 of – no, he was 4 of 6.
That – 4?
Yes. Yes.
See, like, that's not real life.
They combined of 13 of 18 from three, and if you want to throw Trey Murphy in there, he was 6 of 12. So, like, that's a ridiculous amount of threes. They had three guys pretty much combined for 20 threes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not going to – 19 of their 22 threes were made by three guys. I don't know how realistic that is.
It's not.
And especially, like, again – the thing that Zion is so good about, the reason why this team is built so perfectly around Zion, is Zion drives, he collapses the defense, that gets open shooters. So if Zion's not going to play, they need that guy to still drive and suck in all the shooters to get guys like CJ, to get Herb Jones, to get all their shooters open. And I don't know if they'll be able to do it as easily. And I'm looking at the three-point percentages in these games that the Pelicans have played the Kings this year. 42.9% in the first matchup. In the second matchup, 2 days later, they shot 23%, 7 of 30. Besides that, 45% the next game, 54% the next game, 55% from three in their last game. So they have allowed the Pelicans to shoot over 42%, pretty much 43% or over in four of the five games that they have played this year. I don't know if that's realistic. I don't know if that's a sign that maybe the Pelicans are just really good at finding open looks against this team, but I just can't believe that that's going to continue. I mean, at some point, and I know the Kings even lost that game where the Pelicans shot 23%, but you got to believe that if that happens again, the Kings have a much, and that was the closest game. That was a five-point loss, only a five-point loss that time to the Pelicans. You have to believe that if they get more close to that number, that's super doable for this Kings team.
Yeah, you, it just can't happen again.
It can't.
Not no. like that. If they last second shot, something like that.
We can live with it. But it just is make what it competitive, it man. It's just about making it competitive at this point. And, you know, you gotta keep up the physicality. I don't know if the Pelicans are a physical team at all. That could be something that the Kings, I don't think the Kings play are super defense, physical though. With them. They do play really good defense. And, you know, it's the length and all that. They have Jonas Valanciunas, who's a big, strong body. But I don't think CJ McCollum does, like, he's a skinny dude. Like, I know he's got that infamous picture of him at Lehigh looking like a little child.
Yeah.
But, like, he's not a very strong guy. If the Kings can be physical with him the same way they were physical with Steph, I definitely think that lends itself to a good game plan. Brandon Ingram's the one where you might just have to hope he Klay Thompson's it and not necessarily go 0 of 10, but you got to hope that Brandon Ingram doesn't just feel himself, because that's the one guy. I don't know if the Kings can even make life difficult for him. It feels like you put Harrison on him, he's just not long enough to get up that B.I. shot, and Keegan doesn't really bother him either.
But I think that's a situation that we've seen before where it's fine, Brandon Ingram,
sure, yes.
35 points, yeah. But the other guys just can't get going.
Yep.
If that's going to be your play, it's when they – I would not blitz Brandon Ingram at all. I would just chalk it up as a loss, because if you blitz and then you let Herb Jones shoot and you let, you know, other guys shoot and get and feel comfortable. Dyson Daniels, I mean, these are role players that are probably going to shoot better at home, at least in theory. So I would just chalk it up as an L with Brandon Ingram. Hope maybe he's off and at least he only shoots two-pointers for the most part. I would not, I repeat, I would not bring the house and blitz Brandon Ingram. That's just my thought process. Chris, a question I wanted to ask you and everyone out there listening, who's got more value right now, as of April 17th at 12:09, Keegan Murray or Jonathan Kuminga? Keegan Murray is 23. Kuminga is 21.
That's an interesting wrinkle. I would still probably say Keegan, but you're going to get some. I mean, it might depend on the team that you're trading with. I think it might not be as far off as what people might think. I think Kuminga has a good amount of value.
I think so too.
I think you could. I think a team can definitely convince themselves that, like, hey, you give this, like, if you make him your central figure or one of your three most utilized guys, like, there might be something there. You know, yeah, 2 years. There's a 2 year difference. Mm-hmm. Do you think Kuminga can make up a gap in 2 years to get to the point where effectively Keegan is now? I don't think that's a bad bet.
Yeah, they are similar players, but also very different players. I mean, they're both around the same height.
Yeah.
You have Kuminga, who's just a ridiculous athlete. Yeah. Keegan is more athletic than you probably think, but Kuminga is definitely more dynamic than Keegan. Keegan is more polished.
Yeah.
And Keegan's a better shooter. Both of them score in different ways, and both of them defend pretty darn well also. So I think it's a really, really interesting thought when you talk about, I don't know that you would ever view Keegan as a number one. I think some people see Kaminga's jumping ability
he
and think
could be.
Say he could be a number one, but I have no clue how he gets there.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a bigger bet. Like, Keegan is the thing that you do know. Like, I don't know how much, not necessarily in a bad way, like, Keegan can definitely round out his edges, but I don't know how much further Keegan's ceiling is. Kuminga feels like he could stay about as good as he is now. Mm-hmm. He can continue to improve at the rate that he's been here these past couple of years. And I don't think with his athletic ability, if his shot starts to fall, like, there's a chance that he could be a really unique player. Like, I don't know if there's a guy out, like, this is kind of crazy to throw out there, but I emphasize the discount or the dollar store Giannis. Is that okay? Like, can I say a dollar store
Giannis?
Yeah,
a lot of people in the Bay said he was a bit of a baby Giannis.
Yeah,
that has been said before.
I think that's the thought of if it pans out well, and I think the right team would be willing to bet on that. I think Keegan is much better for teams that are trying to win now, that are looking for a role player that you don't have to worry. You set and forget. That's absolutely Keegan. Kuminga is going to have a lot of inconsistency. You're going to have to work with him a ton to get him to that level, but I think a lot of teams would probably tell themselves, like, I think I would bet on Kuminga's future just as much as I would bet on Keegan's. And, you know, definitely Keegan's a safer bet, but mm-hmm. Kuminga's more of that home run swing.
Similar to what we talked about when Draymond said at a random camp, hey, there's about two guys on a team that can do whatever they want and are the kind of do-it-all guys, right, and everybody else has a role.
Yep.
Keegan Murray is probably always going to have a role and be elite. That's why I've compared him to Klay Thompson,
sure,
that he's gonna defend at a high level. He's probably maybe slightly more athletic than Klay, even pre-injury. He can shoot the basketball. We know what Keegan can do. He kind of has his role. It's just how good is he going to be at that,
right,
role. Kuminga could be a I-don't-need-a-role guy, but at the same time, how good of a I-don't-need-a-role guy is he? Right, yeah. You're just going to let him run around. And
right,
we don't know what polishing he actually needs.
Right.
He needs to shoot the three better. But besides that, he's kind of a tweener in a way because he's not as big as Giannis.
Right.
So, yeah,
that's,
I think
that's a big part of
it. I think a lot of people would convince themselves to go with Kuminga.
Right.
It just depends on what you're actually looking for. We have an update on Malik Monk and the sixth man status. Also an update on Malik Monk. We see some people in the SAC chat talking about his injury and what this does with the fact that they're playing again. We will give you those updates, and we will hear from TC when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
On the left angle, finds Sabonis at the free throw line, left elbow area. It's a pivot, one dribble, and hands to Fox. Hesitates, probes, now skips across court. Harrison Barnes wide open, buries the triple. Boy, the spacing was just outstanding there. The Kings have made their 11th three-pointer in 25 attempts. Sacramento, after the lead had been cut to one, has now scored 9 straight points.
Saw this from NBA Central, and NBA Award Tracker aims, this is NBAAwardTracker.com, NBA Award Tracker aims to increase transparency and visibility into the NBA award races. All of the rankings are aggregates of the league's top metrics and predictions to provide fans a more accurate look at who is leading each award race. Sixth Man of the Year, Norman Powell at number 3. Malik Monk at number 2.
Okay.
And Naz Reid at number 1.
I mean, I definitely don't love that. I did see a list of somebody yesterday who had, like, Bogdan Bogdanovic 1.
That's what Whitey and Drapes were talking about.
Yeah, I think it was Bogey 1, Naz Reid 2, and then I think it was John Hollinger, actually, and he had Jonathan Isaac as number 3.
Insane.
Insane. I mean, you know, those guys are deserving of, you know, a nice little hat tip, but Malik Monk has been the exact example of what a sixth man represents. And that's the thing that's been so frustrating. Like, yes, Naz Reid did do really well off the bench this year, but he didn't, when he was coming off the bench, his numbers weren't as good as Malik Monk. His impact isn't as strong as Malik Monk. I don't understand with this entire conversation, if we're doing MVP, the number, like, 2 or 3 thing that people bring up after record and, you know, maybe after stats is, how well did his team do when he was out? Because when Malik Monk was out, the Kings have been terrible. They've played their worst basketball of the season with the exception of last night. Something tells me if in Minnesota, if Naz Reid went down and not Karl Anthony Towns, something tells me they would have been just fine. Now, I'm sure they wouldn't have been at 100% who they were, but you know, the Timberwolves still finished as the 3 seed. I know they were in the 1 seed for a good portion of that, but I just don't believe that Naz Reid had the impact. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't good or wasn't great or isn't deserving of a top 2 or 3 spot, but Malik has just been what a 6-man represents for this Kings team. He comes in, he provides that scoring punch. He's a de facto starter pretty much. He closes games. Not only does he score, he also sets guys up, leads the bench, the entire NBA in bench assists. I don't know what else you want. He's big in clutch moments. He's fun. He's exciting. He's a lot more like your traditional Lou Wills, your Jamal Crawfords, those kind of 6 men. Mm-hmm. I just think it makes too much sense, and people are trying to convince themselves of anybody else but Malik, and I have no idea why.
Unless it's injury, it doesn't make sense, and I still don't necessarily – I hate using the word fair, but – I still don't think that's totally fair to take it from Malik when he was so far ahead. Yeah. I don't think it was early enough in the season for that to be the case. And at the same time, with Karl Anthony Towns out, Naz Reid's numbers, and I don't know if these people are breaking down these numbers based on when he was only the 6th man,
that's right.
But a lot of his numbers have been ballooned from him starting.
Yes.
Malik never started a game. He never started a game. So unless they're saying, oh, yeah, we are only looking at Naz Reid's number as a 6th man, I don't think they do. I don't necessarily trust any of it, and it's unfortunate if it does not happen.
Naz Reid this season, coming off the bench, is averaging 12 points per game. He's shooting 48%, 41% from three, 5 rebounds, just under 5 rebounds. Not a block and not, you know, under a block and under a steal per game this season. Malik, and that's coming off the bench. That's not his overall stats. That is when he comes off the bench as the 6th man. Malik Monk, by comparison, is almost 3 points per game better at 15.4. He averages more assists than Naz does rebounds, shoots 44% and 35 from three, which aren't as good efficiency numbers. But again, Malik has just more of an impact. He has the same amount of double doubles as Naz Reid does as well. I just don't see how you could say that Malik, when he has better numbers, his record coming off the bench is also 40. Let's see here. He is 42-30 in games when Malik comes off the bench. Naz Reid is 46-20. So I don't think that there's a big enough gap to say that, you know, Naz starting should give him the nod. I understand if you want to say, oh, he's the best player that also comes off the bench. But to me, that's not what the award is.
It's not. So we are continuing to monitor that situation and hoping the best for Malik Monk. Also saw in the SAC chat a little bit earlier, people asking the question, hey, Malik Monk, does this change things if they can get past the Pelicans? All we know, all Chris and I know, is that during the shoot-around before yesterday's game, Malik Monk spoke and said he hasn't even run yet. So he's got to do that first before we even
got to do a lot of things.
Entertain that conversation. Just got to focus on Friday.
Yep.
Hey, you're missing Malik. They're missing Zion. Roll the ball out and get it done. 916. Don't be lackadaisical. 916-339-1140. Let's get to TC, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, TC? What you got for us?
Oh, yes, sir. Vibing before we get started, man. How y'all feeling? Chris, what's up, bro? How y'all feeling?
Incredible.
Man? Feeling great.
Possibly never better.
Yes.
Hey, I told y'all to show up. Listen, man, Keon's a dog, man. Hey, man, Keegan came out firing. Hey, listen, you know how they said in the Bad Boys, the first Bad Boys movie, that's my favorite one, when Will Smith told Martin when they were driving in the Porsche at the end, going to catch Boucher, and he was like, from now on, that's how you drive.
Right.
That's how I felt about Keegan. Keegan, from now on, I felt that about Domas.
That's right.
Domas, from now on, that's how you dominate, bro. You go out and dominate like that, big dog. I'm serious. I'm fired up right now, bro. We finna beat the Pels on Friday, bro. I'm going to first round. I'm trying to tell y'all, bro, Kings fans, I try to tell y'all this year was going to be much more special than last year, bro, because everything we're going through, bro, the play-in, to get into the playoffs, to knock the Thunder out, bro, it's going to be special, y'all. Y'all better get ready.
There you go, TC.
Seen the script.
Always with the fire. Look, if they get past the Pelicans, I don't know if people are going to know what to do with themselves. if you get to come back to Golden One. And look, here's the thing. Let's keep it 1,000. This is no disrespect whatsoever. You have New Orleans Smoothie King Center.
Yep.
If you had a list of, and again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. If you had a list of, and I know they get crazy out there because, hey, I don't know if there's a ton to do, but if you had a list of arenas you wouldn't mind playing in, or I'll do it like this to not be disrespectful. If you had a list of arenas you don't want to play in, where do you think OKC would fall on that list? It wouldn't be top 10 as far as being worried about
it. OKC's got a really good crowd.
I know they do.
They've got the Loud City or whatever
they call it. I mean, we could do that off the top of my head. And I don't know what would you do with Chase, right, at this point with the Warriors. But you don't want to go to Boston.
Definitely not.
I don't think you want to go to L.A.
You don't want to go to Garden either.
You don't want to go to Madison Square.
Right.
Where else?
You
don't want to go to Denver because of the altitude.
You definitely don't want to go to Denver. So, that should actually be number one. You definitely don't want to go to Denver.
So that's what, four or five right there.
Sacramento.
Well, you don't have to go to Sacramento.
No, but just, I mean, if we're going to make a list.
Sure. So Sacramento, that's five.
Sacramento's definitely on that list for sure.
I would put OKC in that same tier as the Bucks, the Cavs.
If you ask Coach Kerr, Club Phoenix.
Club Phoenix. You don't want to go to Club Phoenix.
You want to be able to hear the next day.
So I think they're worse setups to be a part of, right? There are worse setups to be a part of, but the Kings have to get it done. Continue the conversation. We return. More Kings suck. More your calls, more your texts, more your Sack Chats. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
On the possession for the Kings, inbounds to Sabonis. He's at the three-point arc. Dribble handoff to Keegan. He drops it back to Domas. Gets into the paint. No look pass to Keon Ellis for three. Add three more to his tally. He pumps his left foot once, twice. Heads back up the floor to shadow Steph Curry. Keon Ellis now with 13 points. And the lead is double digits at 74-62. We're at the midpoint of this quarter.
No matter what happens on Friday, does this change how you view the season? Your initial thoughts, Chris Watkins, Nate Littlefield, myself? I still want to see what happens Friday, but it's probably the best consolation prize you're going to receive.
I'm pretty happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say there was pessimism going on yesterday. Not everyone was expecting a Kings win.
Here's a better question as we break this thing down. 9-1, and not to say that you can't have both, but it would be really tough, right? If you had to choose, 916-339-1140, if you had to choose between beating the Warriors the way you beat them last night in the play-in, or getting the sixth seed, getting to the second round as we wanted to at the beginning of the season, and losing in the second round, right? So you beat whoever as whatever seed you want to be. You lose in the second round. What would you have preferred? Not to say that
easily.
Easily two.
Not even close.
Rather make the second round.
Make it to the second round.
Make it to the 9-8 play-in.
I'm just going Ricky Bobby here.
You're going like emotional, back at the Warriors.
But I'm going Ricky Bobby here. If you're not first or last,
so it doesn't matter where you finished.
And you got to pack up the Warriors.
The whole thing, this whole season, was we have to get to the second round. That's what everyone was talking about.
But things change. That's what I'm asking the question.
People said last season expectations are changing. The expectations are fluid, but dude, it's easily get to the second round, no matter who it is.
To me,
if it's the Lakers.
But I'm just 916-339-1140. I don't know, man. I'm really curious what other people think, because you do not hang banners for getting to the second round.
No, but you feel really positive about the direction you're going. And then if you made the sixth seed, I mean, if you would have upset a 3-6 matchup, I think that feels better over the course of a 2-week period than, yesterday was a great experience, but you could have three more of those in a series.
Of course.
And then some making the second round. I just think it's the second round. I think the emotions that go into yesterday absolutely are tough to top, but ultimately, if you win a playoff series, you get all of those emotions, you get more games of data to back that this team is actually moving in a positive direction. And, if you're going to get eliminated on Friday, I don't think... I think it definitely still is better than what the other outcome would have been. Of course, them losing to Golden State, but ultimately, you could still argue it's celebrating something that isn't really worth celebrating.
And that's what, Warrior fans would tell you. I mean, you didn't do anything. You didn't even get into the playoffs if you do lose on Friday. From the Sack Chat, Larry Doney saying, do I want us to keep playing? Yes, but sending the Warriors home to the golf course early is good enough. Brandon Deitzman, I'm pretty flippin' happy, boys. From Nelly 47, doesn't change for me. The expectations were set higher this year at minimum. Getting to the first round was at least the goal. Getting eliminated on Friday is still a failure.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't figured. I think we have to go through Friday for me to say failure ultimately, but... I don't know if I would call it a success. It's definitely more successful now that they've beaten the Warriors. You have something you can kind of hang your hat on, but ultimately it still isn't what the goal was. And yes, goals definitely adjust as we get information, and Malik going down definitely changes expectations. Absolutely. Like, I think making the playoffs at this point would be exceeding what the expectations were once Malik went down. So it's definitely an accomplishment. But if the Kings lose on Friday and you just have this win to go off of, I think it's more positive, definitely, than what it would have been if not. But ultimately, I still think a lot of people are going to view it as a failure. I don't know if this is really even peeling back the curtain, but I will say I'm thrilled that the Kings won yesterday, just from the sheer fact of, I think there would have been a lot of, I think depressed might actually be the right word. Yeah. Depressed people out there who would have said, this is terrible. Blow it all up. These guys are fake. They're illegitimate. Get Brown out of town. Monty McNair, he doesn't know what he's doing.
One win changes that.
One win changed it. I do think that one win, at the very least, it cuts that percentage of people significantly. Like, those people are still going to exist. Don't get it wrong. We're going to get tons of calls this summer from people upset saying you shouldn't be happy with, one elimination game win and still not making the playoffs, which I don't even know if I'm going to argue against that. But I just think that ultimately this is a really positive step. Like, if we're just talking about things that we're taking away from this season, Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray's development, I think beating the Warriors is definitely not something that we should just gloss over. Mm-hmm. Because if we would have lost that game, Lord knows people would have added to the fuel of their fire. So I think it definitely adds to this season isn't a complete failure. There were some steps along the way that led to some positivity heading into next season, which ultimately was the goal of this season anyway. The goal of this year was to build even more positive momentum into next year. And as crazy as it sounds, I do think the win yesterday built some momentum. Now, all of that momentum can be crashed and burned if the Kings lose by 35 to the Pelicans again. But if they make that a competitive game and ultimately they don't win, I still think that you're going to take it as a win. And I don't know if you're going to be able to call it success or failure. I think it'll be some gray area in between.
from Patrick Donaldson, it wouldn't be a failure this year. The West was so good. Plus, we had injuries this year and improved our defense. 10 games under 500 is the 10th seed in the East. 10 games over 500 is the 10th in the West.
That's a great point.
The way I see it is this. Whether you lose on Friday or lose in the second round, the offseason doesn't change to me. I don't know that there's anything. Well, there's nothing Kevin Huerter can do because he cannot play. And I don't think there's anything Harrison Barnes can do because that's just what it is. Right. I mean, if we're just going to think it's another revenge tour and he's just going to turn into who he normally is and he's just inconsistent is who he is. So to me, that's the only reason I do ask the question, because would it feel better that you got to watch the Kings for a longer period of time and we got to do more shows with the great energy that we have right now with this postseason energy? For sure. No doubt about it. Creating more memories for a team who's only coming off their second season, tasting the postseason in 16 years, for sure. But if you had to choose between packing up, I don't know, the Spurs or some lowly 10 seed and the Warriors versus losing in the second round and not getting to end the Warriors dynasty, that's the only reason I'm having that conversation. Simply because either way, your offseason, you might feel better about the offseason, but your offseason doesn't really change.
I think it might, though, in the sense, I think ultimately you're definitely right, but I think there's like small things, like if Davion Mitchell shows out in a playoff series or something, maybe you're a lot less likely to think like, oh, or maybe it solidifies Davion's future here. Mm-hmm. You know, I know Trey just signed a free agency deal. Who knows? Maybe Sasha gets a series where he's able to get some run. I just think that there's a lot more things that can make you feel better if you get these wins along the
way. Last thing I'll say, and we can continue the conversation on the other side. Sure. Last thing I'll say is that's similar to what happened to the Warriors. And the Warriors, they made the second round. They thought if Wiggins wasn't missing, who knows? And they ran it back because I'm thinking, okay, what if that first round HB goes crazy?
I don't think they can run it back again.
What if HB goes crazy and now you convince yourself, well, maybe this is who HB is now in his 32nd year or whatever it is. And
of
now,
life.
And, yeah, exactly. Of life. And now you have another season with HB.
Maybe. Or maybe it raises HB's trade value if that happens.
Maybe.
And maybe you consider it even more.
So, I guess. You know. We'll never know. When we return, did Sabonis exercise his demons? Continuing the conversation on last night. Also, moving forward to the Pelicans. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
On the possession for the Kings, inbounds to Sabonis. He's at the three-point arc. Dribble handoff to Keegan. He drops it back to Domas. Gets into the paint. No look pass to Keon Ellis for three. Add three more to his tally. He pumps his left foot once, twice. Heads back up the floor to shadow Steph Curry. Keon Ellis now with 13 points. And the lead is double digits at 74-62. We're at the midpoint of this quarter.
From the 530, asking the conversation, really just a way of asking how much did last night mean if you had to choose between last night and not facing the Warriors and losing in the second round, which would you choose? Chris and Nate chose to lose in the second round. From the 530, they also agree it's not even close. It's not even close. It's great and a quick excitement to send the Warriors packing. But the potential for 16 extra games with two play-ins and two seven-game series is amazing. It's like an 18% longer season with option two. Also, maybe it's long enough that Malik comes back, and two series means potentially two new rivalries form. Yeah, that's taking it real deep there, 5-3-0. I guess I was saying that they wouldn't be in the play-in if they got to round two. Not to say that they can't. It was just a kind of a made-up scenario. But I get it. I know there's somebody on the other side, 916-339-1140, because I know it meant a lot. And I think it might be easier to ask this question once it's over, right? Maybe the fact that it still could happen, the fact that it still could happen means, hey, you know, we're not saying we're done just yet as far as the Pelicans are concerned with no Zion Williamson. If you did not hear that news earlier, Zion quickly, Chris,
yeah,
been ruled out quickly.
I kind of figured something bad had happened because, mm-hmm, like, they pulled him out with like a minute to go in the game yesterday. And I know it wasn't like a win or go home, but like, They kind of would have liked to have that game, especially with it in the balance.
He had a 40 burger.
He had a 40 burger. Right. He was playing ridiculous. I saw him slam his towel down as, mm-hmm, he walked right before he walked off to the, right before he walked off to the locker room. So I knew it wasn't good. I mean, mm-hmm, you know, that's a situation where, especially with a minute left, if it's not that bad or you're not that concerned, you're going to say play out the minute and we'll do tests after the game.
Right.
But the fact that they said immediately, like, no, get him out. When we want to take tests, you kind of had a feeling that it was going to be something bad. I thought he was just going to play and not be at 100%, but the fact that, like you said, they quickly ruled him out. We still got 2 days until this game even happens, and they said, no, there's no way he's going to be able to recover.
That was the craziest
part.
That's
serious.
Yeah, that was the craziest part, how quickly they said that he was done. And I don't know. I mean, the Pelicans, who knows what they're thinking. They're free-falling right now. Maybe it's different if it's not the Kings. I know that sounds crazy, but to already say no, hey, again, if there's a team we feel like we can pull this off against without Zion, is that the number one team? Obviously the Pelicans, they might be undefeated against some East Coast team, but there is no other team that they've beaten very easily 5 times.
No. I mean, the Kings are definitely the only team that they've even played 5 times this year. And let me look at these splits real quick. The Pelicans are 3-1 against the Clippers and 3-1 against San Antonio. Besides that, 5-0 is by far their best matchup. So this is exactly what New Orleans wants.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it has to be. And if you're the Kings, At least you know what hasn't been working.
Right.
And Coach Mike Brown has made some adjustments. That's what he did last night against the Warriors. And we can't talk about it enough, how he had this team ready, that quiet confidence that was oozing off of him during the pregame presser. And David wants to continue that conversation. 916-339-1140. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. David, what you got for us?
Hey, thanks, guys. Just real quick on Mike Brown. My favorite part was when Keon was moping about his, like, turnover on one end,
mm-hmm,
and Mike Brown was yelling, like, at the top of his lungs for him to get back on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was fired up to get Keon still focused in the game, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call, David. He's a player's coach, and I know it's another overused sports term, but he is a player's coach to me, mm-hmm, of the highest order. Whenever you can flip off a coach and he laughs about it mid-game, yeah. I don't know if there is another coach that would allow that. The relationship, and it's a relationship, they're relationships that I don't even understand, to where I'm thinking, is that cool? Is that kind of makes
sure
me uncomfortable?
Yeah.
But that's how they get down, and he's really coached these guys up for majority of the season. When there's a difference between guys that are still growing and evolving and guys that they just kind of are what they are, mm-hmm, right? And this isn't to be a slight at anybody, but De'Aaron, still young in the game, he can get coached up. Mike is turning him into a two-way guy.
Yeah.
Keegan Murray, Mike is doing his thing there. And then you just have guys that maybe are closer to their ceilings, right? You have Keon Ellis, who's nowhere near his ceiling, at least we don't think so. Then you have the Harrison Barneses of the world, who's in his 30s now. I don't know how much Harrison knows so much about the game already. Is it really just a matter of he is what he is? Kevin Huerter, we know what Kevin Huerter brings to the table as far as his skill set and tools are concerned. what, how much more can Mike do there? So yeah, when there is an area where somebody can grow, I think that we've seen not just Mike, but from Lindsey Harding and yeah, the G League staff, they will help get you there. But there are some guys who they're just closer to their ceiling than others.
Go ahead, Nate.
I'm sorry.
No,
do you think good. Kevin Herter did hit his ceiling last year with Mike Brown? Do you think he I kind of feel like he got the most out of Kevin Herter as most as he could have.
Yeah, I mean, right? Even defensively, Kevin was trying his darndest. He gets an E for effort. Yeah. I think so. He had him rebounding, cutting to the basket. Kevin was pulling down 6-7 rebounds. So I would say so. Kevin is only 26. It's just when you look, we just did this conversation with Keegan and Kuminga. When you look at ceilings, Kevin is either going to shoot well or he's not. That's it. That's literally his ceiling.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm looking at it. Last year's numbers, 15 points per game. Shot 40% from three, 48% from the field. All of those are career highs. I think that's probably his ceiling. I think it'd be tough, unless somebody goes down with an injury and Kevin gets an increased role. I can't see him playing better than that. But saying that, that's really, really good to have. Like, yeah, if Kevin Herter can just be that, that's a guy that they'll gladly take on the team. So even though you might say Kevin can't get much better than that season, if he's just going to be that guy,
yeah, he shouldn't need to.
He shouldn't need to, exactly. That's exactly what you want from a guy like Kevin Herter in that role.
And the last person I'll bring up that we haven't brought up yet, and I know it started in L.A. and people were thinking, Laker fans were thinking, oh, should we have held on to him or not? Malik Monk.
Yeah.
Malik Monk.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. There's another one.
Yeah. I mean, this coach, and this is hilarious because this team has a history of very high lottery picks. Ben McLemore, Thomas Robinson, Willie Cauley-Stein. I mean, mm-hmm, the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on from all of the top 10 picks that this team had. The funniest thing, I guess it's not funny, but they couldn't develop any of them. Right. And, there was a very, very minimal strides made, so much so that, when guys would make little tiny strides, it was the biggest thing in the world. Ben McLemore being able to attack the rim or dribble the ball was huge for this team. If he could pass, it would have been great for that team. And now you see, like you said, not just the young guys, but everybody's getting. Malik got better. Kevin Herter, who is still a young guy, but had been in the league for 4 years, mm-hmm, got better when he got here to Sacramento. Trey Lyles has gotten better just in the year and a half. Has it been two seasons? I guess it has been two seasons since Trey's been here. 2.5 years. Trey Lyles has gotten significantly better. The internal development, you're right, is not something that should be overlooked because it's just not something that this team has had. It's not a given. Just because you're a good team doesn't mean that your guys are going to get better. Mike Brown and this coaching staff, I mean, it's definitely not just a Mike Brown thing. You pointed out Lindsey Harding. I mean, Bobby Jackson was this team's G League coach in the years previous. All those guys, the player development guys, Luke Laux, even Jordy and Jay Triano, Doug, all of the behind-the-bench coaches, those guys have done such a great job, and Lace have done such a great job of making these guys better. And even Sabonis, man, Sabonis with his three, that's something he hasn't been as good at in his NBA career. This season, he shoots a career high from three. It's just they are getting better and not losing sight of appreciating the fact that this coaching staff has had a huge part in making these guys better.
When we return, can the Kings really pull this off? We'll hear from Shams on Zion's hamstring injury. And if you're starting to feel bad for the Warriors, we have some sound that might change your mind from the Curry family. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.